I'll tell you right now. Hold on, I had something in my mouth. I'll tell you right now. If you showed me any song from 1990 to 2008, I would not be able to tell you who made that song.
That's not like an impressive thing to declare, Ted. That's just like, I'm ignorant of music.
No, but you see, if I phrase it like this, then it sounds like a cool skill. Speaking of skills, this is Revival, episode 37.
Oh, before we start, I have to give a huge shout out to Kokechi from Twitter. Or, I'm not sure what their name is in Discord. What's their name in Discord, Ted?
I don't know if they're in the Discord.
Are they not?
I haven't seen them.
Well, okay, even if they're not in the Discord, I don't care. They sent me, in Japan, I guess they live in Japan too, they sent me this, like, got it, so I can describe it to you, because it's amazing. They sent me
it's this specky terrarium,
like, diorama thing, and it's made out of, like, honest to God, real rocks. So, like, real rocks, for one. But it's, and like, that's not the impressive part. It's got actual
algae and stuff.
It's got like moss and like animal bones and a cicada skin, and it's all set up and it looks like an actual fucking forest scene. It's amazing.
Like, if it wasn't something that you knew that you were getting, it would seem like some sort of death threat, which is what makes it good.
Yeah, it's like seriously cool. I'll put a picture, like a link to a picture of it in the description of the video on YouTube, so like check it out. It's seriously amazing, and like thank you so much. It's like, it's amazing. I never thought I'd get something like this. I've got it like next to me while I'm playing. It's awesome. So thank you.
Yes. Speaking of things that are awesome. So no, I can't even do that. I can't even do that fucking transition because it sounds like some fucking Big Bang Theory bazinga, bazinga, bazinga ass shit. I was going to say, speaking of things that are awesome, let's jump right back into Dungeons & Dragons. Nah, fuck that.
Aw, man, awesome sauce.
So the last thing that, the last piece of important information that showed up previously was you got a bunch of new team members.
Yeah, bunch of nerds.
And all that, right? Okay, one second. This is... Where the fuck?
This is going to be the hardest acting of my life because me, an intellectual, loves kobolds in all forms. Little scamps, the dog ones in Monster Musume, love them. They're great. Kobolds, fantastic. Elias couldn't give less of a shit. If there's cute kobold shenanigans going on in the game, it's going to be really hard for me, an intellectual, to not be like, aw, hell yeah, kobolds. While Elias
It'll be easy for me, a real dungeony. That's what we call ourselves in the D&D fandom.
Cut this whole part.
my notes from the last time I wrote them down didn't save them, but luckily I had a backup. So
I don't have their names, but I have like,
yes, that's what I was getting to.
I have the names.
So you guys all, as it ended, you guys were all having a send off dinner with the congregation and Lazarus and everybody.
I believe there was pecan
but
pie
during. Yeah, during this dinner, you guys are going to learn a bit more about your new teammates here, right? The Dragonborn, your Dragonborn Protection Squad. So, to describe them in a bit more detail. They are Veroth and Balak Troll. Veroth, the red one, is approximately middle-aged, very serious, refuse to even eat food until you told him it was okay. You know, strict, no-nonsense, orders only, here for a job. Balak is his brother, who is younger than him by, like, 20-some-odd years. If you ask them about this, the only thing that either of them will say in unison is, our father lives an interesting life. He's fairly jovial, but only towards Varoth. He seems to like pissing him off. If you ask him to do things or give him instructions, he'll follow them to the letter. Then going down the table towards Elias and his new PhD student squad, the halfling who seemingly cannot stop himself from reaching across the table, inspecting everything, and annoying everyone in the general vicinity is Brandle Bright.
That's my boy.
He will not shut up.
That's my boy.
He's majoring in alchemy and does not seem to realize that it is not acceptable or appetizing to be talking about weird arcane formulas involving various viscera and stuff at the dinner table.
A single tear of joy slides down Elias's face as he's no longer the only weirdo here.
The female elf who is spending most of her time between staring at Specky as Specky steals scraps from the table.
Wow.
Things that fall and staring at Patton is Mavala Ellenheim, who is majoring in artifice. She was just carrying that. She was carrying that big old suitcase for Brandle because, as Brandle says, "What do you think? I could carry that? It's way too heavy for me." She's very, very awkward. She seems to get fixated on things and kind of zone out. She has a long... So I should describe what they look like a bit more for all of them. Varoth is wearing a very decorated large plate armor, black, with a red like half cape going across one of the shoulders and a large shoulder guard on the other. And he has a rather massive bastard sword on his back. Balak is wearing just regular clothes, like a nice shirt and some jeans. He has armor, but he doesn't seem to be wearing it at all times. Balak also has quite a few like decorative piercings and things like that in his little hair tendrils. They're both quite large, though. Like they're approximately the same size, same height. Very, very large.
One of them green, or one of them was red and blue, was it?
Varoth is red, Balak is blue. They're half brothers. Brandle is, a halfling with messy. Yes. With like messy long brown hair tied back into a like one of those annoying man buns, just ostensibly to keep the hair out of his face and not for any actual stylistic reason.
I thought we could be friends, but it's not going to work out.
Yeah. He's wearing clothes that it seems like he's been wearing for a while. Pretty worn out and ratty. He doesn't seem to care much about how he looks at all. Sort of mousy features. Mavala has very angular features, kind of like almost creepy. Mm-hmm. Like very, very sharp features, high cheekbones, narrow chin, long blonde hair that's kind of just down, covering a decent amount of her face at times, like not really well maintained. That's kind of a recurring theme with these guys. They get the weirdos.
Well, yeah. I mean, that makes sense.
And she has a pretty distinct little, she has really bad posture too. She's always kind of hunched forward. Then last person, sitting fairly stoically, just kind of picking at his food, is Serun Talne, which eagle-eyed listeners, I'm going to keep doing this.
Please stop saying eagle-eyed listeners. It bothers me.
Talne, that's familiar. Oh, that's the fucking, god damn it.
That's yep. the Dean's the
Tome kid. Academy, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the Dean's. It's like the Dean's nephew.
And this was the gloomy elf kid, right?
Yep. It's Varius's nephew. He says he's got black hair, you know, like he's got black hair, very gloomy, like bags under his eyes. And he is the pure magic major, and he does not seem happy to be here.
To clarify, a pure magic major would be like a pure math major, right?
Basically, like a non-applied mathematics major.
So he's all theory. He doesn't do that much actual casting, right?
Yeah. I mean, if you try and talk to him a bit, it seems like he's genuinely interested in magic, but he, you know, the way he talks about things seems like he didn't really have that much of a choice in what he was doing.
Right.
So, that's your crew.
So far.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's a B team that you can assemble in whatever ways you want to go do things. So, as you guys are, you know, sitting around here, eating dinner, if there's anything you'd like to do, now'd be a good time. If there's anybody you want to talk to or...
All right, I'd like to get second helping of Pecan Pie.
All right.
John, with the important tasks.
You are given a second Pecan Pie.
Hell yeah.
Wait, so a second helping for John is not a slice, it's a second whole pie.
He's a big boy.
He's a growing boy.
He's got to eat to keep his strength up.
These are the exact words used.
I can't think of anything in particular I need to do. I think I'm pretty much set up. Like
I think we're good.
Yeah.
Okay. So, camera. Need to do
I can't really think of anything besides wanting to figure out ways that I can defend myself better.
I mean, Patton, you're supposed to be an artificer, right?
Yeah. If you want, me and Jerry can fix something up there.
Yeah,
get that plus well, two. Nobody's going to take the bait on that.
No. Nope. Yeah, no. So, that. Thank you for finally doing this at the start of a session.
Doing what?
So, well, Giron, you have a floating plus two. As Patton is going to be fiddling with your equipment seemingly during dinner.
Well, I wanna...
He's better with this kind of stuff than the whole medical thing, so I'll be okay with it.
Brandel was the artificer, right?
No, Brandel, the halfling, is the alchemist.
The alchemist. Okay, I don't have an artificer, right?
No, you do. Mavala.
It's, Mavala. That's Mavala. Right. Mavala.
Mavala Elmheim. The one who's kind of staring at Specky and Patton a lot.
Right, so I'll just let her know that she's free to raid Patton's shop for parts whenever she needs to.
So if you say that, her eyes are going to light up. She's just going to stand up from the dinner table and go off and like run over to the truck, like quickly.
Don't worry about it, Patton. I'm sure she'll be able to help you with
clang 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 clang.
Whatever it is you do over there.
The truck starts to noticeably sway.
And she's just throwing stuff around.
Seemingly.
Yeah, it's about
doing something in there.
It's about how I usually go about it.
That don't seem like proper dinner time behavior.
John says, shoveling pie into his face.
Just an entire pie. Like a cartoon character eating a hamburger in one bite. like Shaggy eating a big sandwich.
Where's the mayonnaise?
Hold on. Right
here.
We weren't going to date this. Okay, let's keep going.
Yes. So, anyway, with that, the camera is going to, you know, pan up, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Pullback has given you a nice little aerial shot of the big long dinner table. And it's going to be, you know, a cool little transition where it goes up towards the moon, whites out, and then comes back, and you guys are in the truck.
Solid editing techniques up. Solid.
Yeah. You know, it's gonna fade to white, and then you're like the white is gonna change to like the glare from the sun.
Yeah, yeah.
As you guys are driving, and it looks back down. And there
we are.
Go all J.J. Abrams on him.
Hell yeah! So the big point of contention and things still left to be discussed as to what the fuck you guys are currently doing is you wanted to get some form of scrapping team. And to be completely honest, the suggestion of kobold and or goblin wrangling was something that I threw out there basically as a joke that you guys latched onto, which is totally fine. Like, y'all can. But you do have to think, in character, is it something your characters would do? If so, sure, go for it.
Yeah, like, John would be like, oh, goblins, those little skins? Yeah, get him in here. But also, Tim assumed they were more like magic goblins, which are, like, more capable than our goblins are. So, like, I just misunderstood goblins.
Yeah, there is, like, when you say goblins, it ranges between, you know, like, Magic the Gathering, is it technomancer, like, kind of smart goblins, to basically, like, standing upright feral dogs.
Yeah.
Smash.
I misunderstood.
And we're somewhere,
but I think the only reason I was angry
between those.
Yeah, the only reason I was angry was because it was, you went over the downsides, and you told me that it was a really bad idea. If Elias had told me to shut up, it would have been more okay. That's all.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Elias, I don't think I was even there at the time.
No, but like,
yeah, this was all it
John
was all
and Patton walk into the other side of the, into the room. Hey guys, we got a great idea. We're gonna go get us a goblin scrapper team.
That's
shut
a
up,
terrible
John.
Idea.
Yeah, exactly. I would have been upset that I couldn't have my fucking goblins, but I mean, I felt weird arguing with the DM over what my character would do. I guess I don't know.
Yeah, it was something that kind of I just wanted to make sure that this is rad in player. Like, in player knowledge, wasn't overriding, you know, like, it wasn't something that you would sit back and think back on and go, man, would my character have done this shit? Right?
Like I said, if I had a better idea of goblins, I probably wouldn't want, like, it. Probably not.
Like, also, I think there was a difference in how many goblins is a lot of goblins. Because if you just, like, find some capable little scamps, you know, a couple of them, then yeah, that makes sense, right? But if we're talking about taming a horde, that's a bit of a different scenario.
Yeah, I was thinking
it's like the difference between getting
goblins.
A cat and being a cat lady, right? One is reasonable, the other makes you insane.
Yeah, I liked the idea of getting a group of little scamps together and having them do work for us. That sounds like fun.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So
I think kobold is a pretty good choice. I can't think of any other group of little scamps I want to wrangle. So,
as you guys are driving and you know, figuring out where to go, now would be a good time in character for Patton, and because it's assumed that you guys had been talking about like something similar in concept in character, but now would be a good time to actually in character discuss what you're going to do about this whole scrapper team business. Mm-hmm. And also there is another option of, you know, like one, not doing that at all, or just hiring a real team.
I think we all know that's not going to happen.
Right.
I mean, Patton could make that happen.
Yeah. So, all right, gentlemen, hope you all had a good night's rest, and I am 100% still behind the idea of finding some kobolds and sending them into these dangerous areas to collect objects for us.
Just keep them off me, man. That's all I ask. Keep them off me. Keep them off the stuff I'm doing. Otherwise, I don't care.
I don't think we have the space nor the provisions to care for how many exactly? Kobolds, were you thinking of? I'm not really sure where you're going with this idea. Why don't we just hire some scrappers?
Well, hiring people costs money.
Now,
consider this. Spending money, getting some quality of work done, probably high quality. Spending no money, and I mean, what do you think we got the dragon board for? You think they're there for protection? We're good on that. We're strong. We don't need them. It was the Kobold Babysitters Club. Because I don't want to go into these places first if I don't have to. Why not send them in? They're capable. They're somewhat replaceable.
I'm not sure that you really understand the concept of free here. They're not free. They takes time, effort, provisions, all sorts of supplies, which are sort of the same as money, to care.
They're a really big responsibility, Patton.
Are
you
they?
Sure you're ready for it?
God damn it.
A kobold is not just for Christmas.
The biggest advantage to these little scamps
this would is be all predicated that... on the idea that you can even find them.
That's true. I actually... Okay, let's take a step back. Do we even have any idea where we might find some kind of kobolds? I don't know if there's...
I mean, you're the biologist. Somebody,
anybody who wants to, roll me perception.
Okay.
Shit, all where right. are my dice? I might have misplaced my d12s.
Ugh. Throat hurts today.
I got... 15.
15?
I got an 11.
I got a 13.
23.
Right. 23?
Yeah.
Right. So, what was the next highest?
15.
15? Okay, on a 23, as Patton is saying, do we even know where we would find any of these as you guys are driving down the road? You see, on one of the signs, like on some of the signage for like an off-ramp,
mm-hmm.
you see a scrawled in like shoddily made red paint, Rithax Kingdom, but every word is spelled wrong, including apparently his own name. Like, the K is backwards.
Wait, what was the name?
Rithak.
Rithak? Okay. And just to clarify, where the fuck are we right now?
Well...
We decided we were heading out west, but did we decide which road we were going to be on?
We're going south first, and then I think we were cutting west at the Texas
actually,
border.
Actually, yeah, that's a bit important. So,
I'm just bringing up Google Maps.
I believe what you guys said you were going to do was you were going to go up I-40, right?
That was what I thought, so. But... Because right now we're in Little Rock,
right?
And then we're going up 40, right? Towards Conway?
Yeah, that's what I thought you guys were doing.
That's what I was under the impression we were doing.
Correct?
Yeah.
As far as I know, yeah.
I mean, that's, yeah.
Okay, I just wanted to clarify.
Right, so currently you are driving up I-40, right?
Okay. So have we gone past Lake Conway yet or not?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
There's not going to be that much in the way of, like, we can describe what things look like as this convoy starts to get going. And, of course, you have multiple vehicles because, you know, you got John's motorcycle, you've got your car, you've got the, you know, the truck with the very, very large extended sleeper cabin.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole, like, you know, the whole trailer, which you've more or less furnished, right?
All right.
And these things are gigantic. So they're, you know, the truck bed that you've furnished has, you know, various little like tool sets and things, you know, like their workbench and some alchemy tools and stuff like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Little meat and table, stuff like that. So you've been on the road for a bit, but it's still, you know, the first day. But yes. Off of one of those little off-ramps.
All right, because I was looking at
you
places
see,
along Rithax the way. Rithax
Kingdom.
And
the first K is backwards, and it's spelled K-I-N-G without, the little hook. It just kind of looks like a backwards P and D-U-M.
Because I was looking at places that we were thinking of going or stopping along the way.
Mm-hmm.
There was the University of Central Arkansas, which is like right on the way.
Ooh.
And I didn't know, because if there was like, because I have a bunch of new students, so I figured if any of them wanted to get books or look at like their lab equipment and stuff there.
That's totally legitimate. So yeah, we can just say that, you know, you're getting up towards that general area.
All right. Because I was thinking maybe that this kingdom was maybe near there.
Yeah, definitely. Sure.
All right, so because if that's along the way, then I want to stop and go through their laboratories and like library and stuff.
All right, yeah, that is actually kind of the general area that when I looked at it, I was like, yeah, that's the spot that would make sense.
All right, well, so
a university is a pretty good place to set up as like a little
base if you're a bunch of kobolds. Everything, there's like food places, there's big buildings, there's open grass.
Yeah, there's, you know, a giant kitchen that's outfitted to feed a large number of people.
There's a Papa John's pizza.
Hey, fuck guys, off. Can we stop there?
Sponsored by Papa John's pizza.
Dude, can you imagine if we were sponsored by fucking Papa John's?
Papa That'd John's is the most smug pizza mascot.
It's just...
Second, it's just me. I would say this the second on the smug tier list is definitely the Noid.
Well, because he went from ruining pizzas to being the mascot of pizza.
And then he got removed. Then he got removed because there was a pretty crazy incident with the Noid.
It's true. We're not talking about Noid lore on this podcast.
No,
so Dan, I have a new D&D character I want to talk to. His name's the Noid.
God, I hate you people so much. All right, we're turning
off. First things first, okay?
Yes, you see, you're like, I don't even know where we would find kobolds, and then Elias just goes, you know, like the off ramp to go to this university is now scrawled out with Rithek's kingdom.
Yes, so I would like to take a look at the University of Central Arkansas.
You bastards.
Well, do you want to know why I'm calling it that?
Because there's no reason for the characters to understand the linguistics of naming structures in fucking America. Yes.
You get it. He understands.
I mean, I'm sure the pronunciation was written down somewhere.
It wouldn't.
Wouldn't?
You'd have to find a video of somebody saying Arkansas.
But it makes sense because Elias hasn't been on the rock for long enough to find these little corner cases.
Doesn't that just piss you off?
Bastard. Yes, it does.
I knew you would hate that, which is why I'm doing it. It's completely in character.
God, it is.
Well, I ain't gonna correct him.
Right. All right, let's go to the University of Arkansas. Yes, a look at the University of Arkansas's... That's difficult to say. University of Arkansas's library. And Patton, I believe they should have some manner of laboratory equipment, things of that nature, as is normally held at a university.
As he points it out, you can see the off-ramp. Yes, that's very clearly. The writing is too good to be goblins and too incomprehensible to be anybody else.
The perfect level of stupid.
If it was goblins, they would just have a bunch of skulls on it instead.
Yes, so I believe that makes a quite logical first stop. I'll inform my students if they need to get any... gear or books or things, provided it hasn't been picked clean already. But
right, so things that you should know for where characters are, you have several vehicles following you as well. Like Dr. Robo isn't just in the trailer right there. She's following behind in like her own you know, decently large little, like, cargo van. And sitting passenger in that cargo van is Alonso, who looks... If you look back, you can see Dr. Robo talking and Alonso looking very troubled.
I assume we all have radios to contact them and things like that, right?
Yes, yes.
All right. I'll radio back to Alonza, and where did you say my students were?
Your students are in the trailer.
Oh, in the trailer with us?
Yeah, yeah. All right. They're in the main cargo area, which is also where the Dragonborn brothers are.
All right, so
as they're kind of on guard duty.
Right. So, and we're in the truck cab, I assume.
Yes.
Okay.
Which is connected. It's easy enough to get between the two.
All right. So I'll walk back to the trailer to talk to the students first, and I'll tell Patton to ring up Alonza and Dr. Robo. Mm-hmm. To let them know that we're trading off.
Mm-hmm. Right, so as you guys get on that little off ramp and drive down, this place is relatively like well preserved, right? This is very clearly a town that mostly burned down,
mm-hmm.
right? And as you pull up, you can see the university and a lot of the buildings are burnt out as well. But primarily around the university, as you start to pull up, you also see rather makeshift, rickety, like rope bridges and scaffolding between all of the various little buildings, right? Which really doesn't seem optimal considering how far apart everything is.
Is there some reason they're staying off the ground?
Maybe.
Can I roll perception to see if, like, the plants look fucked up or something?
Sure. Or
actually, let me get just nature for, like, the general lay of, like, the plants and stuff around here.
Okay.
To see if there's, like, big-ass animal tracks or some reason, like, they're staying off the ground. That's a one.
Nat one?
Yeah, nat one.
Mm-hmm. Nice. So, hang on one second here.
Oh, that's good. Hang on a second on the nat one.
So, as you guys are pulling up, the first thing that you see... actually, let me think about what route would make the most sense for you to go down if you were getting over here. You would probably need to take...
Well, you'd go down... you turn off 40 onto Dave Ward Drive. And then Dave Ward
Drive...
So the first
thing that you would see is this big like track field as you start to pull on into here, as well as like these various sports fields.
Yeah, yeah. The first
they're fairly
field.
Overgrown, right?
Yeah.
As you're starting to pull in, there's actually not that many like ruined cars. It's fairly sparse.
Mm-hmm.
Getting back to the Nat 1 that Elias rolled, uh-huh. right? You are, as you see these, like, rickety scaffoldings between the buildings, many of which actually just kind of drag across the ground,
because
it looks like they tried to set up some sort of, like, thing between the buildings, but they're really spread out pretty far.
Yeah, yeah.
And not very tall, even.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not an area where you would need this sort of thing.
Right.
Looking at the plants and everything, you can't see anything that would alert you to this, but you have a gut feeling that there is some sort of problem with the general environment that would make you not want to set foot onto the main ground.
Right. Okay. Well, I'll just let everybody know that there's you want to stay on guard. I mean, something that's a problem for kobolds might not be a problem for us, but. Like, a big problem right. for kobolds might not be a big problem for us, but it'd probably still be annoying.
Right, so you're probably going to instruct your students there to, like, not step on the grass or something.
Yeah, just stay off the grass or be more careful. Take some samples before you set foot.
Yeah, when he's saying to keep an eye on... Is that good enough for me to roll a perception? I don't want it to feel like, oh, that character failed.
Sure.
Well, now I'm going to roll. And then John rolled.
No, 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 yeah. He's rolling nature. You're rolling perception.
All right. I rolled 18 plus 11, which is 29.
All right. So you're looking at that and you don't see anything like on the ground or like moving between like scurrying on the ground that would alert you. However, as you turn off and you start to get towards the college proper, right?
Mm-hmm.
You do see, like, in the window of one of these buildings, right? You see a kobold with a little historical looking pit helmet, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who has a very, very comically large long rifle. Like some sort of SKS or something.
That kobold's got a gun.
Right, and he is aiming it directly at you. He's got it like propped into the window, right? And is aiming it at you, and he tries to pull the trigger, but in doing so, like the barrel tilts up really far as he's straining to pull it, and it fires into the air.
Alright, boys, we got a kobold with a gun.
At which point you see movement. A lot of movement. As you see kobolds start to scurry out onto these rope bridges, several of which don't break.
Ooh, all right, then.
That's intimidating.
I would caution to not underestimate a large group of kobolds and not underestimate whatever they may have set up around here. In fact, I'm going to suggest we stop immediately.
Okay, so what are you guys doing? You see a large kobold task force is being assembled and moving on your position.
First things first, we gotta calm these little scamps down.
Many have gun. Some of them look like they don't, like they might not be broken.
Ooh.
Alright, so what do I know about how kobolds react to people? Are kobolds, do they make their own little hovels? Do they fiercely defend them? Are they territorial? What's general kobold
antics? This would be a good place for a history check.
You know what, fam? I rolled, let's see here, 15 plus 13, so 28.
So, on a 28, in your little visor, you're going to pull up your... This is actually going to be a little bit eerie to you, right? As you're going to try and recall memory, like what you know about kobolds, and a little data file is actually going to open up with all of the information that you personally know about kobolds. You didn't write this. You didn't make a file. It seems to have compiled this information for you.
Oh, that's good.
Nice. I'm going to take it as it comes.
It's floating in front of you, like in front of your eyes. So like a little holographic display. And what you know about kobolds. Ahem. Kobolds are draconic lesser beings that typically latch on to some form of powerful leader, typically in the service of some form of dragon or dragon, you know, wyvern, dragon, something draconic, as they revere those things as basically deities. Mm-hmm. Kobold society typically is structured around that. It is a very hierarchical system in which they have these communities that are more or less run as pyramid schemes.
Pyramid schemes?
Right. Kobolds are natural born henchmen.
Okay.
They have a leader and they follow the leader's orders.
All right, so by pyramid scheme, you mean like the guy who's in charge of the kobolds is living really well? And then the guy who runs the kobolds is living pretty well, but the kobolds on the bottom aren't living very well?
Yeah, they're mostly doing things for the people above them, who are doing things for the people above them, who are doing things for the people above them, who are doing things to give to a dragon so that he can have a big hoard of gold.
Okay, that makes sense.
In the absence of a dragon, this position normally just goes to the biggest kobold.
That's John now. I'm going to go ahead and hop out of this truck.
You're going to hop on out, right?
Yeah, no, I'm going to do a religious check. I mean, I assume they're either shooting at me or yelling at me or something, right?
No. They're currently running out onto these rope bridges, kind of getting assembled. And many are pointing guns at you guys.
Okay.
But they all are seemingly looking around, like trying to figure out exactly what they're supposed to do as well.
Oh, okay.
They're kind of frozen. The one who actually shot at you, you saw get dragged back inside, and you hear some yelling in Draconic.
Oh, okay.
Seems like he jumped the gun.
Ba-dump.
Okay, so you guys have pulled up towards, like, the main parking lot around here, probably, right?
Yeah, I was just waiting to see what John was going to do here.
I mean, I was going to get out and shout some religious stuff at them.
Roll me a perception check first.
Sure. Ooh, 24.
24? Okay. On a 24, you step out of you step out of the truck, pause for a second before you put your foot down, right? Mm-hmm. And you see disguised in some like some broken car parts, because they're strewn about everywhere, right? Because it's a, you know, it's a parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
Strewn around in some broken car parts, you see a rudimentary bear trap.
That we just happened to pull up right next to?
Oh, they're everywhere.
Yeah, I was just going to say, therefore I assume they're literally everywhere.
Yes.
So just to clarify where we are, because I'm assuming people are going to be looking at this, we're in the parking lot in front of Reynolds Performance Hall?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
All right,
or like in the UCA, I guess the UCA parking lot there, you know, that general area.
Okay, so. Yeah.
You were pulling up, one of the kobolds shot, the rest seemed to just be on guard as you start to pull up. And as Dr. Robo is getting increasingly nervous on radio comms.
So I'm going to say some religious stuff, as I often do.
So just gingerly step around the trap.
Yeah, I'm going to pray for safety as I walk through this minefield out here.
Nice.
So I'm going to hold out my rosary. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. I laid me down and slept. I awakened, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000 kobolds that have set themselves against me round about. So saith the Lord, as I'm walking towards the kobolds.
That doesn't seem like from the Dead Sea Scrolls.
All right.
17.
17?
Total?
Alrighty then.
Yeah.
On a 17, you're going to be walking forward, holding that up, you know, stepping around all of these traps. One is going to activate and just kind of clang off of you as it kind of gets deflected.
Poof.
And you're going to see every time that John steps near one of these traps, the kobolds get visibly excited. And then when he avoids it, they get visibly disappointed.
Aww. Step on a trap. Don't ruin their dreams.
So as you're saying that, right, you're walking out. Where exactly are you walking towards?
I mean, towards one of the buildings. I'm going to address the kobolds.
Okay. So as you walk forward, right,
mm-hmm.
the rest of you see, but John kind of caught up in his moment, right?
Mm-hmm.
You see as he walks towards the edge of the car park here, you see a small shimmering line at right about chest level. John walks into it.
Oh boy.
Right? And you just hear ping as from two of these like destroyed cars right near the entrance, you see them kind of rev to life, and there's two ropes shoot out, kind of crisscrossing John, and they start circling themselves, wrapping him up. At which point the cars detach from the ropes, go off, crash into a building, and John is now just covered, basically head to toe in rope.
Dang, damn it, you little scamps.
That is all this trap seems to have done.
It's not even tight?
It's fairly tight. He falls over.
Oh, okay.
But yes, he is wrapped head to toe in ropes.
Right, I'm going to get back up onto my knees.
Yeah, you kind of inchworm up onto your knees. And at this, as John falls there, you're going to see out of this main hall carried on what looks like some sort of what Elias would recognize as an office chair.
Okay.
Like one of those big, nice office chairs.
Yeah, yeah. Like from one of those companies that doesn't sponsor us.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, like, you know, the one that like a tenured professor would have.
Yeah, yeah.
You see a group of kobolds carrying this office chair, which is very, very awkward because it's one of those ones that rotates. Okay. So he's kind of spinning around a bit as they're walking forward, and they're kind of like tipping forward, tipping back, tipping forward, tipping back.
Nice.
You see a fairly large kobold wearing a a big old decorative headdress made out of strips of cloth and things like that, and he has many, many guns, far more than he could ever reasonably need.
That's good. That's just a good
kinda,
amount of guns.
Just kind
of
strapped to him, like as a vest.
Rambo kobold.
Yeah. And he's kind of sitting there with like one hand on his chin as he's spinning in this chair. And the kobolds are going to hurt, scurry, scurry, place him in front of John, scurry, scurry, scurry away.
Hey, old friend. A fine trap and well met. We come in peace, so while I got the Lord on my side, you might want to have someone guide our friends safely through this minefield out here.
I am not getting out of the car to walk through this place. You must be out of your goddamn mind.
He is going to stare at you. You said all of that in common, right?
Yes.
Dude, he doesn't speak common. He is going to...
I mean, probably not, but John doesn't know that. He's going to pull a gun out.
He's going to look down, pull out a small revolver, fire it into the air. A kobold is going to come scurrying by. He's going to point at John. The kobold is going to shake his head. He's going to shoot the gun at the kobold's feet. The kobold's going to scurry away. He's going to pull out a different gun, fire it into the air. A new kobold is going to come over. He's going to point at John. He's going to enthusiastically nod, and he's going to send him over to John. And this kobold is going to say, "You come peace, we not."
Well, that ain't very nice.
And look very satisfied with himself.
That's, in fact, that's pretty rude.
He is going to say, he's going to point at the truck, "You give, ours now."
Actually, I got a better deal for you. Shit, I forgot to ask for a radio. Can I have a radio?
You have a radio on you. This okay. was already established.
Okay. I'm going to ask the Dragonborn to peek their heads out.
Okay, the Dragonborn are going to walk out of the the truck here looking very confused. So, they're going to walk out. The kobolds are going to look very enthused and very interested.
Can I throw on some special effects to make these Dragonborn look a little bit more important than they actually are?
Sure, that sounds like a diplomacy role to me.
Oh,
like a
right. light show. So this isn't an encounter, right? So I can't like use beguiling time.
Not yet.
Okay. All right. Not yet. So I got not seven. Yet. All right, that's an 18 on diplomacy.
18 total.
Yep.
Okay. On an 18 total, you know, they come out with some sparkle effects and are looking all nice and everything, right? But these are kobolds. They are not particularly bright. They don't get what's going on here. So the translator is going to go back to, what is quite clearly Rithak there. It's going to say some stuff. Rithak is going to growl some things back and point at the at your Dragonborn. And the translator is going to say to John, "They hold captive. We must free."
No.
Also, you're not entirely sure why he's translating, because all the other kobolds seem to have understood. They are not very good at their jobs. So, anyway, you're going to see all of these kobolds are going to level their guns in roughly the direction of your guys' things. However, they're going to get yelled at by Rithak, and they're going to raise them up. Rithak is going to look very concerned and is going to growl some things, which the translator is again going to translate as no shoot might hit. You are now in a hostage situation.
I did it.
Good fucking job, John.
They all seem right, guys, to think that success. You're holding your dragonborn friends hostage, and they are trying to figure out a way to save them.
All right.
This is so, you're making this so incredibly hard for me to act. You don't even understand. I love these little scamps so much, but Elias is just not... does not give a shit about this and is just mildly annoyed at the whole situation.
All right, guys, mission accomplished.
All right. Patton's gonna go ahead and get onto the on top of the car here.
Ooh.
All right. Okay, no, that won't work because Dan will yell at me if I say that. Hold on.
Say it. That's motivation.
No, I'm
to
not gonna
it.
Say it because I know that Dan's gonna yell at me. If I phrase it like this, so.
Come on.
Pussy won't. All right.
Okay, so Dan, how much do kobolds know about Harry Potter?
Ted. That's like the worst thing that has ever been said on this podcast.
Good God,
How much does Patton know about Harry? Why the, what?
No, okay. So listen here, Rithrak. We have a preposition for you. Or a proposition, not a preposition.
I'll show you a preposition.
Oh, well, good job, Pat. Dude, he doesn't speak common.
The translator does, kind of.
He got the preposition correct. Proposition, let God me, damn it.
Just so you know, there are some people in your party who
speak Draconic.
Yeah,
let me give you a hint here, Tad. The Dragonborn, I bet they speak Draconic.
Man,
it doesn't matter.
Think, huh?
They're
no,
the Patton, bottom
Patton's
of my
already up there.
List.
Also, Giron speaks Draconic.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I think.
I
believe that was established.
Was it?
Yeah, in like the first episode.
It makes a lot of sense for me to know Draconic.
Well, Tad was doing his thing.
Yeah, Patton's doing his thing. So please, please, continue with this.
Okay. So, Rithak, what we're here for is to offer two lucky kobolds the journey of a lifetime.
Only
to work
two?
Directly under
two?
Not one.
Should we be like four or like
two.
Six?
I don't know how many kobolds it takes. I want to go with two.
You guys say as John is incapacitating in front of a king kobold.
I'm asking them to take more kobolds.
John, you're the hostage. You can't add to the negotiations.
Oh, just watch me.
I'm worth at least four goblins.
Oh, this is fantastic.
Is it?
What weighs more, a ton of John or a ton of kobolds?
Okay, back on track.
So what we're looking for is we're looking for your best, your brightest, and your most artificially enhanced and focused kobolds to join us on our trip with these two heroic dragonborn.
So Pat, are you asking the translator for... is going to be looking at you wide-eyed, is going to go back to Rithak and just like say a couple of words, at which point Rithak is going to pull out the same gun, shoot at his feet, and he scurries away. He apparently got none of that. That went way over his head.
All right, Jerry, do you have a... Jerry, you're good at this. Can you dumb this down a little bit for them?
Well, you're going to need to explain the part to me, the whole, you know, artificially enhanced kobolds. Like, are you asking me to ask them for their...
No, what I'm asking for is I don't want any run-of-the-mill kobolds here. They're not going to help us.
So Patton is standing on the roof of the truck. And at this point, you're going to see, coming across one of the rope bridges, you're going to see several kobolds carrying what looks like a large, roughly rocket launcher-shaped thing. They're going to raise it, fire it. They're going to fall off of this bridge. And Patton, please roll me athletics or acrobatics.
Oh boy, Patton's gonna roll a one and get fucking murked by a rocket launcher, isn't he? Alright, I got a two in both, so let's do acrobatics. 13 in total.
Patton gets gets caught up in and is now tangled in and on the roof of the car, he got hit by a net gun. The kobolds are all chanting something, which Jiron and anybody else who can speak Draconic roughly translates to net gun, net gun, net gun.
Oh wait, I think
there are several who fell off of the rope bridge are clearly fairly injured. They are also yelling net gun.
All right, so I'm gonna climb on up top of the roof here.
They're gonna ready another net gun.
They're readying another net gun. A different group. It's a seemingly differently designed net gun.
Alright, so I'm gonna need to rack my mind and figure out
pop.
What these kobolds might find a good substitute, something of worth besides our stuff.
No, you speak Draconic, just explain the situation to them. Patent basically just yelled a bunch of gibberish.
And then got hit with a net gun.
That's the important part.
All right.
He just yelled raggle fraggle and got hit with a net gun.
Birdman steps on top of a truck, yells gibberish at kobolds, so they shoot him with a goddamn net gun.
All right, so Jerry's like climbing on top of this. I'm going to start chanting with them, like kind of like half-heartedly, like, net gun, net gun, net gun. Swear to God, Jerry.
He's doing the cool yeah, guys, net He's gun. Net gun.
Hello, fellow kids. Jerry, did you bring a fucking folding chair up there to sit on backwards?
That's actually brilliant.
Keep going.
This is great. Keep going.
So I was gonna wait till it dies down, and I'd be like, "So that was awesome, King Rithak, Rathic." Awesome, dude. Hilarious. I'm just to pick the net up here. So anyway, what my friend was trying to say, or I guess he was struggling to say, is we just need like 2, 4, maybe 6 of you. I don't know how much he wants. People that like to get into stuff, you know, just digging stuff up, find more stuff like the thing we're driving, our vehicles, whole bunch of cool shit. So we got these Dragonborn that are helping us out, and we know you guys like them. And
at this point, one in the bleachers is going to yell, "They kidnapped the dragons, and now they're coming for us! Panic!"
Yeah,
no, I
like them getting to panic.
Jerry, you said we've got these Dragonborn. Like,
they are starting to panic.
No, you see, they decided to come with us willingly. We didn't kidnap them. Tell them we didn't kidnap you.
They brainwashed the dragons. Panic.
This is going about as well as I expected.
Several are beginning to grab helmets. Tinfoil ones.
Look.
Rithak is still sitting there.
All right, Rithak, we didn't kidnap them. But Patton would have to, like, show them something to, like, represent what we're trying to get after here. Jerry can't really, like, be, oh, look at this cool shit we got. This technological shit.
Right, so at this point, given your large, given Patton's large amount of knowledge about kobolds, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kobolds follow the leader, right?
You gotta man up, Jerry.
Yes, kobolds follow the leader. Currently, Rithak is leader. He's not going to give... There's basically no situation in which a kobold leader is going to give away people under his command. Right? Like,
I thought we were trying to start a mutiny.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
That's from what Patton would know, right? That's basically that would be the most expedient way if you would like to deliver that information that they follow the leader.
Okay, so Patton just lets me know that, I guess, from under the net.
Would he? That I'm just telling Patton.
Like,
see, that's something that Patton would know.
I was under the impression at first that they would, that the chief would be totally down to send some kobolds out to work for one of these cool ass dragons. That's why I said the dumbass thing about Hogwarts.
You know, right. Problem with that, now that you're thinking about it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, as you're bringing back up some of those data files, is what happens when somebody tries to work for two bosses?
Ooh. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If Dragonborn guys are boss, then Rithak is no longer boss.
Their little minds Rithak can't no handle like that idea.
Yes. As is now evidenced, made very clear by the fact that they are on rooftops, alternatively reloading net guns and putting on tinfoil helmets.
All right, can I in any way get out of these ropes?
Oh yeah, sure, fairly easily.
Okay.
The question is, would it be a good idea to do so?
Yeah, they're going to panic. You're going to freak them out.
No, I just wanted to make
they're
sure.
They're currently panicking.
You are
not effectively permanently restrained.
Okay,
these
I figured I'd have to like
ropes.
Make a check to break out, but no, I can just, I'm a big orc.
It's basically like shitty bungee cords.
Okay.
You can flex and knock them off.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I just wanted to make sure I'm making a backup plan.
Right.
All right.
Jerry, tell the Dragonborn to go walk up and just punch Rithak in the nose.
Is that going to work, Elias? Because, you know, he's got a lot of guns and John's right there. Are you sure?
Kobolds, like, follow Dragonborn. They look up to them. If our Dragonborn friends punch Rithak in the nose, what's Rithak going to do? Punch a Dragonborn? Not a chance.
Good call. Hey, let's see here. I gotta pull their names back up. Let's see.
I'm honestly dumbfounded currently at the easiest solution you could possibly think of that none of you guys have said so far.
I'm not gonna say it.
Michael, just please. Elias would know.
I would not. I don't know shit about kobolds.
Okay, this is all predicated on what is Patton going to tell everybody then? Because this is getting painful for me.
Jerry doesn't know this shit either, man.
Jerry, just go get those troll brothers.
Those troll boys.
Patton isn't going to tell anybody.
Oh my god, okay. Hey, Veroth, Balak, whichever one of you hits harder, go punch that little bitch in the face real quick.
Whew.
They might not even do it. They might think that's a dumb idea.
Veroth, you know, being the one to follow orders and all, is going to, you know, give you a quick salute and walk over to that, at which point Balak is going to grab his shoulder and go, dude, he's got like 50 guns. And you're going to whisper, orders are orders. Yeah, but he's got like 50 guns. Orders are orders. 50 guns.
You come punch this kobold in the nose right now. You hear me? God,
he's going to break off and kind of go run up towards him, at which point you are going to see like four net guns all just doom, 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 as they are going to chant net gun, net gun.
Net gun, net gun.
It's not going to hold him down for long enough, but there is starting to be some sort of schism amongst the kobolds, as they are not, some are not entirely comfortable with the idea of shooting the dragonborn with the net gun, but the others are arguing amongst themselves. You see some are saying like these dragons were subjugated by, you know, like they were subjugated by these guys, they must be weak.
Could I?
Maybe they're not even real dragons. They must not even be real dragons. Not real dragons. Net gun. Boom.
Could I throw a dark dream curse onto Rithak? To like have him show weakness or something like that.
Oh my god. Yeah?
What are you trying to get me to do, man?
You're killing him.
Okay. I'll give you a freebie. Who do you work for?
Okay, Zep, play the tape. Show them who we work for. Had enough of this. Chanting net gun was fun, but we're just wasting time.
Okay. So you're going to magically sort of project that nonsense, because that is actually a thing that you can do.
Mm-hmm.
not that hard. Just gonna run back the tapes there of stuff with Red, right?
Right.
A little bit. They are going to be very enthralled. However, at seeing this, you're going to see Rithek look around, look down at all of his guns, look back up at you guys, look up at the tape playing, just, just kind of putting his hands up. He's going to slam his hands down on the arms of the chair, stand up, promptly stumble forward a bit under the weight of all the guns, and is going to yell, "Kill them and take their place under the dragon. Go!"
I'm gonna headbutt him.
Okay.
John just headbutts.
John is just gonna break out of the ropes and headbutt him. At this point, this is gonna start a little skill challenge here.
Hoo-wee, we done did it now, folks. So that was episode 37 of Revival, a Dungeons & Dragons Real Play podcast. My name's Tad. I'm speaking on behalf of Tim, Michael, Matt, and Dan. You can find this show on iTunes, YouTube, Google Play. You can find links to all those either in the description or on the website, which is www.lmtya.com. Toast along on the same site as Let Me Tell You About, which is my main podcast. You can also find the show on Twitter, at LetMeTellYouPD, and as well as on the Discord. And if you have any shows you'd like to submit into Jerry's show, once it makes sense in universe to have a look at his fan mail, Jerry can go ahead and read your question on air. You can send those in through the Twitter, the Discord, or through the email, which is LetMeTellYouAbout@gmail.com. That's Let Me Tell You About with 3 T's, because otherwise it wouldn't fit. That's my story. I'm sticking by it. Anyway, that'll do it for this week's episode. We'll see you guys episode 38 next week. Kobold Riots! Woo!